Gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
We're calling the meeting to order.
That's too bad. Right. We're solving the world down here.
I like it, Mr. Miley. Let's do it.
You have a quorum?
Roll call. Yes, we do.
On the roll for the Board of Directors Ad Hoc Building Oversight Committee meeting of December 15th, 2014, Director Groom, Director Haggerty, Director Calra, Director Marr,
here.
Director Sparing,
right.
Chair Miley.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Any public comment?
I do not have any requests.
Okay. Minutes? Approval of minutes?
Second.
Do we have minutes? Yes. Second.
I'm sorry, who was the motion?
Sparing.
Sparing moved it and seconded it. I'll second it.
Thank you.
They moved a second. Got the
yes.
Count?
Let the record reflect that Directors Haggerty, Marr, Sparing, and Miley voted aye without any directors voting nay or to abstain, and all other directors being noted absent, the motion carries.
Item 4. Headquarters update.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Ad Hoc Building Oversight Committee, Mary Ann Goodley is going to give you a presentation on the status of the building. There has been a lot of progress made, and I think it just makes sense as we end this year to check in as to where we are. Right now, we're slated to move in at the end of next year, barring any kind of unforeseen delays with regard to the DEA, but I'll let Mary Ann explain where we are and give you a good status update.
Thank you. The suspension stairs have been installed from levels 6 through 8, connecting the agency floors from the roof of the building. The most exciting work on site at this time is the atrium glass that's being installed on levels 6 and 7, as well as the cement that was poured last week for your dais and your boardroom. A move coordinator request for proposal was issued in June of this year. The Air District, MTC, and ABAG participated jointly in the evaluation panel, and a unanimous recommendation was given to the Baja Board for approval of the selection of relocation connection. The kickoff meeting was held last Tuesday with relocation connection, and we'll begin to engage staff shortly on the move process by appointing representatives from each of the divisions. A master schedule, project schedule, was created to assist the with the coordination of project elements across the agencies on shared needs, dependent systems, and on critical path issues and items. As you know, construction at 375 Bill has been in flux in terms of the schedule due to the DEA's delayed relocation. The DEA has committed now to a February 1st, 2015 move out. So it's official. The target move date to 375 Bill is scheduled for December 25th. 2015. And this is all contingent upon the DEA moving out and into its Pleasanton headquarters in February of next year, and the Baja construction crew moving with it full force in March. There are a couple of construction photos that I've included in your packet, as well as foam boards that have been circulated amongst the members here. So in terms of public spaces, this rendering is the front entrance to 375 Beale. The entrance will be distinct in that to your left will be the address will be in bold numbers and lettering. Just to the left of the address will be an interactive bulletin board that will list our the posting of our agendas to meet our Brown Act requirements. And just above the entrance doors, you'll have the agency names just above the entrance doors. Once you enter into the atrium through the lobby, you will have a security desk as well as a waiting area and a media wall that will be located just outside of your boardroom. This is a rendering of your boardroom. The blue lines show where the three monitors will be installed. This boardroom will also have the webcasting and video conferencing capabilities. To the right of your boardroom is a small conference room similar to our fourth floor conference room here where committee meetings can be held. And just below that is a media room. There'll be surface spacing in there for food and drinks just outside the auditorium in the conference room and the media room. Across from the boardroom is a multi-purpose room. This room can be divided into two spaces, and we'll also have webcasting and video conferencing capabilities. The first place that visitors will be directed from the guard station is the seventh floor, where there will be an agency receptionist just off the elevators. On level six, what's being depicted here is that on each of the floors there will be a coffee bar. There will also be banquette seating around the edge of the atrium. These are, you'll see tables, chairs, lounge-like seating in the waiting areas. So the renderings really show what the waiting areas will look like and get a feel for what is envisioned in terms of seating for these spaces. The stairs will be encased in wood for safety. And it'll just be a very dramatic view from the atrium looking down. These shared spaces will have another. This rendering here is just an illustration of the same floor plan that has the phone booths, the conference rooms for the shared agency spaces. So as you can see, work on our new regional agency headquarters is moving forward. Progress is being made. That concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Director Marr Haggerty.
Thank you, Ms. Palugo. How many seats are going to be in that auditorium?
The auditorium will seat over 120 audience members.
And for the coffee bar, is
coffee
that,
bar?
Or, yeah, on the level six, that coffee bar, is that run by some company or what? Yeah, how will that run?
So the thought is that the agencies will supply, coffee, for its employees with a small minimum fee from the staff to run and operate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we took out all the square footage for the atrium, how much square footage was lost in that?
We'd have to actually come back to you on that, Director Haggerty.
It looks like it's a significant amount of the building.
Yeah, there was a significant amount of the floor plate removed, but the atrium actually went through a couple of different design phases, so we'll come back to you with an actual full number.
Bigger or little?
It got smaller, significantly smaller.
If it was significantly smaller, it's because nothing was left when they were done.
Yeah, well, originally it was meant to come in from both sides of the building, so that's why we don't have an exact number.
I'd be curious to know the answer to that question.
We will get you that number.
What is the last day? What is the last day that we can be here before we, in order to avoid any penalty with the developer? I know we've talked about this in the past, but
No, that's right, Director Haggerty. So we start to see a fairly significant financial obligation at the end of June of 2016.
Okay. So even with our target move-out date, we still have about 6 months
to play
back and forth. And it is possible, based on the type of construction that will be going on in December, for our staff to work without jackhammers in the back of their head or anything?
Based on the construction schedule that we have, all of the major renovation, the stuff that requires, backhoes and loaders and stuff like that, should be done by that stage. We have an interior schedule, and we'll be checking that to see how it matches up with the move into the sixth floor. Mostly what will be left is kind of framing and what we call soft construction on those floors. So you're not talking about coring or things like that would be disruptive. You're talking about framing out on the other floors, carpeting, paint, those types of things.
Okay, and then my last question is, some of us will be probably spending a lot of time in this building now, and is there going to be, say, for example, I think this Wednesday we have a commission meeting in the afternoon, we have Air District in the morning. And will there be an area for commissioners to be able to go to maybe be able to log on, do work, things like that,
right,
in between meetings?
Right. There's a room right next to the the auditorium designed for that purpose, as well as serve as during the meeting. If you have a closed session, it'll also kind of serve that function as well. And thank you, Marianne. I think it's off to the right.
So to the right, there is a conference room, similar to our fourth floor conference room for committee meetings, that will be capable of computer access, as well as in the media room.
So is it the upper right-hand corner?
Yeah.
Upper right-hand corner.
I guess I was hoping for something a little bit more individual.
We are also, and we're going to talk to you about some of the changes that we're making in our space. We're going to have a couple of hoteling stations that will be available for board members as well on the eighth floor. So that's a change, knowing that some folks might want that. So we are going to have a few of those.
Okay.
Actually, I'm really pleased about the common areas and public spaces. Is the media wall, how would the media wall be used? That's on slide 9. I know within our public utilities commission building, it really is an educational use for our water systems and power systems in our city, but how would that media wall be used?
So what we envision for the media wall is being somewhat interactive as well, with air quality issues, with transportation issues, and it'll be, we're working out the logistics on the operation of it, but we wanted to focus on air quality, transportation, and planning.
And then I know within the MTC ABAG building now, the first floor has like a library or more of a public accessible library. Is there any kind of shared place where you could look at periodicals and the public can come in and use the resources of the agencies?
On the seventh floor, that replica of the library at MTC will be located on the seventh floor.
And so that library will be available to staff as well. And what's nice about it is that there's two light wells above it, so it'll be open all the way to the roof. And so it's an open area on the eighth floor, if that makes sense.
Is there some kind of cafeteria or some kind of lunchroom that all the agencies will use, or do each of the agencies have their own?
So Baja is looking at retail space on the lower, in the lobby, for food service.
I think
there are lunchrooms on each floor as well.
There's lunchrooms on each floor, and then also, Marianne, isn't there like a place where the, because I remember ABAG wanting specifically to have rooms so that staff can bring their lunches down to and eat a break.
Yeah, there's a break room, and there's smaller pantries, and then if you look at this entrance diagram here, on both sides of the main entrance, on the left, there's a large commercial shop with food service, and to the right is a cafe, and those four tables there are representative of that spilling out into the atrium.
And Brian is correct. There will be pantries on each of the floors, the agency floors.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
That's a good question. Okay. What I do know is just above the doors, each of the agency names will be located at the top of the glass. So,
check to see if it's etched in the glass. Make sure the agency
comes in
or the
agency.
So,
do we know it's actually glass? It'll be etched in the glass. Do we know that?
It is glass,
okay.
Jack, but
right.
Whether it's etched or stenciled up there.
Decals would be probably a good way of going. That way they can be taken off and removed.
Well, speaking of that, more importantly, where will our pictures be?
That, and the pictures and the nameplates of the board members for the Air District as well as for MTC. We're looking at how we will get them to the new building and where they will be mounted.
That should have been the most important thing under consideration.
Did you want it larger than 8x10? Did you want it a little bit bigger than that? We'll come back to you on that, because we haven't talked about that, I think, in our ED meetings, but we definitely need to talk about it.
Has MTC sent out any letters of interest or anything for the private sector?
They've been in negotiations, I think, with one engineering tenant for one of the floors, so that they are out there looking for folks to occupy the other areas. They may also have a necessity to actually expand onto one of the lower floors based on some more staff that they're planning to hire. So most of five, I think, at this point would probably get built out as well, and then we'll see what happens with the other two floors.
I would just add that there is a strong possibility of BCDC moving in to the building as well, and so they are considering building out level 5 for agency space.
Thank you.
So, finally, question, serious question, is with the move-in, will there be any time when the agency will not be operational?
So, yes, Mr. Chairman, that's a that's something that we've been working on quite a bit internally as staff, because we're really concerned about any kind of downtime. And we, of course, experienced some downtime on Friday because of the power. Thursday and Friday, by the way. And so it's really disruptive to us. So we're trying to minimize the disruption. And that's part of our overall plan that Damian has with our move coordinator and everything else, to make sure that essentially we move over a weekend is what we're trying to do.
One of the areas where we obviously are most concerned is our laboratory, because that takes a little bit, there's some specialized setup there, and then our inspection and permitting, which are kind of elements that the public would notice first if there were disruptions. So as Jack said, we have a master plan for the move that's in there. We're going to work with our division director so we understand that, and then we'll actually have a formalized plan so that we minimize that disruption. We can't say that we'll be able to eliminate all of it, but the IT portions and the field operation portions and laboratory are probably the three areas that we're most concerned about right now. But we have plenty of time. So in terms of the staff, it should be fairly seamless. If we do our work right on the IT, they should basically put their stuff in boxes here on Friday and then on Monday morning unpack at the other side. But some of the other more complicated operations, we'll have to figure out how we're going to do that.
Yeah, so it's good. Obviously, we need a plan. I just think there's going to be hiccups.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Murphy's Law, there's always...
Right.
I mean, county just opened up a new crime lab, public health lab, and coroner's office. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a transition from moving all that stuff over to the new facility. So I'm just anticipating that there's going to be some lag time, even with the best of planning. But once you work it out, I'm sure you'll be keeping us abreast of what's going on.
Right, that was our plan, Mr. Chairman, is to keep the committee informed all along the way. Even meet with them just prior to the move and just after.
Yep.
Anything else? Right. So with those pictures, no, I'm just teasing.
Mr. Chairman, for the board meeting on Wednesday, we thought it made sense maybe for the full board to hear this presentation, if you're okay with that, so when the committee, because probably all the board members will want to know where we are.
Right.
So we can...
Item 5.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Damian Breen will give you an update, and this is an action item for this item.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the committee. This morning I want to talk to you about where we are with some of the additional construction furniture and redesign elements for the new building. We'll start this morning by going over a background, which discusses some funding that the committee has put aside for these particular changes. Talk to you about progress that we've made to date on changes at the facility and elements that we're working on with our partner agencies. We'll talk to you then about the budget for those changes and then finish off with a recommendation for you. So back in May of 2014, the board approved the reimbursement of $500,000 for changes and third-party services, basically, at the regional agency headquarters. This was a step that you all took in anticipation that as we kind of firmed up our move plan and as we firmed up our space and the allocations and operations at the new facility, we would need some additional money to make some changes over there. To assist us in managing that process, you further authorized in June of 2014 $300,000 for us to retrain a consultant, Cassidy Turley, to assist us with the construction management at the site, to deal with issues surrounding the construction, and to basically take us from where we are now through the building move. This management will help us with organizing punch lists, making sure that any changes or charges that we're receiving at the facility are in line with what we would reasonably expect from an industry standard. So the combination of those two amounts of funding gave us a project budget for the regional agency headquarters of around $800,000. So what's been happening in the interim? We've been working with MTC and ABAG and Baja. They're the other, essentially, Baja and MTC are the same organization, to look at the construction for the new facility, to go through the architect's drawings, the construction drawings, to make sure that we have everything that we need in those areas, and then to approve final working and construction drawings in accordance with the lease that we've signed with them. We've also gone to the step of having the staff here select the furniture that they'll be receiving in the new facility, and then assigning our staff to their spaces, offices and cubicles in the new building. As part of that process, we've been able to determine what changes we need to make to the original plans to best suit our operations. So what does that mean? Basically, you know, as we looked at the base kind of configuration that they gave us for certain offices, we needed additional things. Backup power for our laboratory, backup power for our radio room. We needed to change a few plugs here and there for IT operations. We needed additional data drops. We needed an area for board members to be able to hotel when they come with us for meetings. Additional storage, locks on doors, those types of things. So we have a list here of about 20 or 30 different changes that we need at the facility to facilitate our operations. On top of that, we've actually identified that we need additional furniture at the facility. If you remember, way back in February of 2013, we approved a set of space plans for the facility. This was to indicate what our headcount would be and where our folks would sit. As part of that, we reserved some space on our floor for expansion. Due to the economic times at that particular time, we didn't think we'd be moving as aggressively to fill those spaces. But as it turns out, you subsequently authorized us in 2014 to go ahead and take on about 20 additional staff. So we are now in a situation where we need to do additional build out on that floor. Additionally, on top of the looking at the actual construction at the facility, we've been working with our agency partners on about 30 different shared services. Things like calendaring and email and visitor scheduling, webcasting, internet connectivity, server rooms, all things that we will be sharing as agencies on the IT side, and then things that we'll also be sharing on the business side, like receptionist, security card access, copy and print services, pantry supply rooms.
Jane, just real quickly, sorry to interrupt you, but who's handling the IT?
So there's a requirement in our lease that there's a core network that's provided by Baja MTC to the agencies. That means that the piping that runs up through.
But who's the vendor? Who's going to be?
TCOM is the name.
Because that's the one place where I've seen IT stuff turn over a few times in my tenure as an elected official, and that's the one area where there's always been hiccups.
Agreed. So MTC have retained a contractor called T-Mobile, T-Com, I got them mixed up. And what they're doing is they're providing what we would call the structured cabling. In our lease, there's a requirement that they provide us the piping that goes from the server rooms right up through the desktop computers that we're going to have installed. Then, in terms of the actual networking itself, we will install our own servers over there. We're currently working on an IT project to bring new equipment there. And from there, we actually go back on their network again to the pipe to the outside. So it's a coordination effort between TCOM and our IT folks to make this happen. We have in our planning that Jack talked to you about earlier, as part of our plan, we have kind of a hard date where we need to be on site in order to make a December 2015 move-in timeline. And MTC have currently in their schedule organize for the cabling and the room to be ready in advance of that date. So in or around July of 2015, we'd hope to be landing our equipment there on site, which gives us 6 months to make sure it's the lights working. Come on, the phones come on, mm-hmm. Which is probably one of the, you know, in terms of the greatest risk for this project, that is probably one of the ones I would mark as top.
And you said, what was the date?
July 2015.
Right.
So on the IT and business side, we're also working to share some stuff. We've worked on the network design, which has again been an interesting process. I think we were walking down one path with regard to that design, and we've more recently changed, but just based on the fact that you know, there's a need for us to be able to operate independently as well as conjoined. So we're in a pretty good place with the network design right now, but because we decided to make some changes, like owning our own IDF classes, which are basically the switches that link us to our servers, there's going to be some additional costs to the redesign of that network. One of the other things that we've actually done as well is, in terms of agencies, the Air District and MTC at least have agreed on a formula for reimbursement for changes and for the shared services, which is basically based on the square footage of agency space there is in the new facility. ABAG has discussed this with MTC, but as far as we know, there's not a firm agreement in place between them. But this is something that the executive directors are going to take up at their next meeting to make sure we're on the same page. So where are we in terms of the costs for all of these things that we've mentioned? We have, as part of the design of the network and as part of, you know, examining how we could share and work together, we've employed a consultant through Baja, that's Accenture Consulting, and they've helped us with the design of the network and the design of the sharing of the services. Based on our allocated square footage, we would be expecting to receive a cost or a bill from them of about $325,000 for those services. I mentioned that we have done some slight redesign of the network, and there's a cost associated with that for us. But we're not doing that on a square footage basis because the cost really for our network is minor. You can see that the costs are a little bit higher for ABAG and MTC there because of the redesign, but those are not firm yet for those. Our number is the only firm number that you can take from this presentation. So then in terms of the construction costs, anytime you make a construction cost, there has to be architectural plans that are submitted to the state architect and to the city. So even though our construction changes are minor, I talked about some of them before, and there's probably about $100,000 in architectural fees that go along with them. The construction changes themselves are about $269,000. And then some of the additional furniture for the staff, the expansion in staff, is listed there as $180,000. That $180,000 number will actually take us over and above the number of seats that we currently need. But based on some of the discussions that we've had at the board level, we're expecting that we'll need to fill some additional seats over the next few months and years. So we've gone ahead and essentially furnished all of the areas now on the sixth floor. The last item on there you'll see is the funding for Cassidy Turley, which is $300,000. So another important thing to understand is that we haven't exceeded the limits of what you've given us to date. We haven't got billing for most of these things. There are things that are going to come. But if we go ahead with our architectural and construction changes and the purchase of the furniture, what happens is that takes us up to about $1.3 million. You've allocated us $800,000 so far. So as part of today's agenda item, we're recommending that you authorize the executive officer to reimburse Baja for an additional $500,000, which is to be added to that $800,000, takes us to the total of $1.3 million for the additional work that we have outlined as part of our move into 375 Beale Street, and that funding be taken from our Air District Building Reserve and placed into this year's budget. And I'll pause there for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Have we started to engage some sort of auction firm to auction off what we're leaving behind or want to get rid of?
So as part of the overall plan for our building move, that is on the schedule. We've got a draft RFP, and we're just working with, actually, Cassidy Turley to figure out what's the best way about going about that. It's one of the things
I
that...
Damien,
go ahead.
What I've been told by you, Brian, is that by law we're supposed to, I think, approach a public agency first. Public agency is...
There's a statutory scheme that puts in place how you have to go about disposing of surplus property. And so the RFP that Damien was referring to is to get a consultant with us to walk us through that process. But I think Jack is correct. It includes, you know, there's a step where you have to offer it out, and then after that you can go to a public auction.
So that process is going to take us a little bit of time. There are other things, obviously, we need to consider. Not all of the equipment and materials that we have here may be taken off our hands by either a public agency or through an auction. So we need to arrange for some disposal as well. Removal of hazardous materials and all those types of things are in the plan.
Well, so I think I'm not really worried about how you auction off the hazardous materials. But what I am thinking about is, quite frankly, none of this stuff is really state-of-the-art. And so I doubt you're going to have a lot of public agencies clamoring to come get those desks, for example. Yet I think, you know, I'm aware of a couple auction firms that specialize in just public entities in which they put things up on eBay, and it's, well, not eBay, but their own website. And it's really phenomenal. We did that recently at a transit agency that I sit on, and the stuff that we were auctioning off actually brought in a heck of a lot more money than we ever thought it would. So I certainly hope we do that, because we are spending a lot of money, and it would be nice to get a little bit back.
If we could follow up with you, Director Haggerty, in terms of some of those names, we could work that into our
plan. RFP. That would be great.
I would most definitely like to help you.
Yep.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Damien, what's our employee size compared to the MTC and to ABAG? It looks like we're about two-thirds of the subtotal budget of MTC and about two times bigger than the ABAG according to that budget. But is that...
Yeah. No, that's a good indication. And we're currently at the building, we'll be somewhere around 230, I think, employees in situ there. We are overall at this agency over 300, but we've got a lot of people obviously deployed in the field. So we're around 230 growing, and MTC's around 150 or so. And then ABAG is closer to 70 or 80. So the allocation of square footage is a good indication of the relative size of the agencies.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Anybody else? Well, it's typical, because that you need more money. I mean, anybody's done a rehab. That's what this is.
That's basically it. We've tried to keep the cost, though, down to the minimum level possible, and we're not anticipating in this phase, at least, coming back to you.
In this phase?
Well, so we get to the end point, which is where we walk through and we do the punch list. At that particular point, provided they've provided everything that we thought that they were going to give us, That should be it. But those of you who've done construction projects know that at the end of these things, there's frequently additional costs that weren't envisioned.
Yeah, that networking and that other stuff doesn't pan out.
We have a plan B. We have, and we've always insisted on having our own pipe to the outside. So regardless of how their networking comes together, if they can provide us the cabling to get us from our server room to the floors, which is going in right now, we'll be able to work around. We don't want to, because that kind of defeats some of the sharing elements that we wanted, but we this agency needs that because of the kind of some of the other roles that we play in terms of safety and some other things.
Right. Oh, no.
Director Spring, we always thought we would have it in the reserves to do for this very reason, right? We put the money aside in the reserves to come back to you to pull it back.
Yeah, but for public consumption, you have to know you've got unanticipated costs.
Right.
And so the way this is presented, it looks like you're just running over, it's kind of out of control. So for me, you ought to at least have some consideration, at least some statement that says that I would be very surprised if you don't come back and ask for it.
Well, to be honest, I will be too. So. That's a good suggestion.
On the flip side of that, if you tell your contractor that you've got $1.6 million,
they'll chew it all up.
Yeah. Right. We're doing it this way because we don't want to create the impression that we're spending money willy-nilly here. We want to keep tight control on it. But if we can take that as direction, we'll see if we can figure out what additional costs we could have and then bring it back to you as a contingency.
Also, just for the committee's sake, it helps us to be in a position where I need to be able to have you all tell me that this is all right as we figure out, move in, and negotiate with Baja. And because I don't want to have a blank check available for Baja. So that's what you all were implying before. So I like the idea of a lot of transparency on this one, with you all seeing every single step of the way as we go along.
Yeah. It helps. Constantly telling our General Services Administration, our agency director, is it on budget, according to specification, and with, on time. And this one is not quite meeting those criteria. So, but when we get there, if there's any issues or questions, that'll be Chair Marr's baby, right? I want to win my reelection 2016 so I can be around when we're in that new building, see how things pan out.
We're not having the cost overruns reflected in your election.
No, we don't. Okay, very good. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thanks for the update. Now, this is an action item, so...
Correct.
That's correct.
Been moved? Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Action. I think we're all supported. Sean?
Right when he...
Let the record reflect that Directors Haggerty, Marr, Spearing, and Miley voted aye, without any directors voting nay or to abstain, and all other directors being noted absent, the motion carries.
Any committee member comments?
So, Mr. Chairman, we'll present this again on Wednesday for you, for the full board.
All right, very good. So we stand adjourned. See you guys on Wednesday morning.